Sympathy with Figs podcast and Who Are You in Love interview series are not to be confused with individual or couples psychotherapy. In this podcast, I provide coaching and content for informational and entertainment purposes only. Listening or watching this podcast cannot replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a mental health care provider. If you are experiencing a medical or psychiatric emergency, please call 911 or reach out to your medical doctor. Welcome to Empathy with Figs. This is my first ever podcast. I'm a relationship expert and couples therapist here in San Francisco and excited to start Empathy with Figs podcast. And hopefully it'll become your go-to resource to feel more connected in your relationship. What I do every day in my work as a therapist is I help couples stop fighting, make up after they fight, communicate better, and yes, snuggle more. So this podcast, we're going to be talking about all those yummy topics that help couples love each other more. In today's show, we're going to talk about how you can be the one you've been waiting for. So you can be the one you've been waiting for. This is a concept that I've always been inspired by and interested in. This notion that inside of each of us, there is a little wounded person. No matter how competent you've become in the world, no matter how strong you are, no matter what brilliant a lawyer you are or dancer, you still have, when it comes to love, a part of you that can feel really hurt, that can feel rejected or abandoned, and you can feel ashamed of yourself, right? And so that, it's almost like there's a part of you that when you were little, when you were really young, that got hurt in matters of love, probably with your parents, but also maybe siblings and your peers, that you learned ways to respond to protect yourself in the world that you needed to do to survive. But now that you're older, some of those ways that you learned to protect yourself in the world, they may not be serving you. And the only reason you learn to actually engage in strategies like that to protect yourself was because you didn't get all of the love you needed back then, right? And that's not saying that's like some huge fault of your parents. So this isn't about blaming other people. This is just taking a moment to think about the way you yourself, when you were little, may not have gotten all the love you needed. And now that you're a grown-up, you have a chance to provide all of that love that you needed back then to yourself right now. Right. So here's the amazing thing. So this has been my work with for my own personal life, and I'm really excited to share with you some of my own story today and about how I've been showing up for myself to be the one that I was waiting for when I was little and being that one for me now. And the amazing thing is I thought that's where this concept ended, right? That if I could show up lovingly for myself, the little one, right? The wee little figs, or as I call them, figlet, the figlet inside, right? That then I would be able to be happier and have less suffering, you know, not be so mean to myself. But it turns out that while that's brilliant, there's this totally secondary benefit that I didn't realize. By showing up and loving myself and becoming the one that I was waiting for, I have actually become the one that my wife, Teal, and my daughter, Grace, my dog, Zephyr, right? And my soon-to-be son, who's due June 6th here, so we're really excited, my son, Kian, that I have become the one they deserve. I've become the husband and the father that my family deserve. I've become the husband and the father that my father was not capable of being. He was not capable of being a husband to my mom, and he wasn't capable of being the father that I and my sisters needed. So I'm going to talk to you about that story, right? And of course, then explain why it should be important or why you'd even consider for yourself becoming the one you've been waiting for. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about myself, right? I wrote this article and it was published on Medium, and I'll include the link to it in the show notes below. So the name of the article is The Place I'll Go Before I Die. And I'm going to just use this framework of the article just to kind of share a little bit about me and my life story and how, you know, I've been working on this becoming the one I've been waiting for. So I, you know, typical cliched Irish story. I come from a family where my dad, while he loved my mom, he also had another relationship. He was addicted to alcohol, right? He was an alcoholic. And from my mother's perspective and my perspective and my sister's perspective, his relationship to alcohol seemed more important than we were. And that was really painful. It was really painful for a kid like myself. It was really painful for my sister, really painful for my mom, right? So I grew up with a lot of emotional pain and longing to have a dad who would see me and, you know, mirror me and validate me, you know, and help me feel that I could do and be all I could be in the world. But instead, I felt a lot of shame that he wasn't around, and I hid that longing and I tried to swallow the sadness. And as you can imagine, I grew up with a mother who was absolutely incredible and the rock of our family. She was always there. And even from a young age, I knew, right? I knew that she was this immensely powerful, strong person that would do anything for me and Neve, my sister. I was full of awe and gratitude. And in some ways, I felt burdened from the level of actual appreciation I had for all that she would do for us. And I saw her pain. I saw her sadness. And it's really hard for a little boy to see the person he loves and admires and wants to be happy more than anything in the whole world. Even more than I wanted to be happy myself when I was a little kid, I just wanted my mom to be happy. And it was really painful to see her so sad. It's hard to talk about it right now. It still is very emotional for me. How grateful I am to my mom. And I remember when I wrote this story, I cried and cried the whole time. And afterwards, I took a shower. I just couldn't stop crying. But here I am all these years later, and I still feel all of that pain inside for myself and for my family. And this brings us to the point of what the show is about, right? Rather than shame myself or feel bad about myself for feeling this way, I'm going to love myself up. I'm going to let myself have my sadness and share it with you, because that is the part of me that is most worthy of love, that needs love the most. And I'm never going to abandon that part of me. I'm not going to shame him. I'm not going to put him away. I'm not going to tell him you got to hide. So there's still this sad little boy inside me, even though I'm this grown, you know, balding 45-year-old man who's a quote-unquote relationship expert. My expertise comes from I still have access to this pain, and I'm willing to feel it and share it and reach out for love and comfort. So over all these years of actually doing some work to allow myself to have these feelings, I kept coming back to this image from my childhood where after my parents finally broke up for good and, you know, they were going to get a divorce, my mom and me and my sister, we took off to America for the summer. we actually went to Long Island, right? And I'd never been to America. It was amazing being on the freeway when we first got off the plane, like all those big cars and all the different types of people. It was exhilarating and terrifying, quite frankly. Like, you know, New York in the 1980s, it was, whew, that was quite an experience. And I ended up, my sister and I ended up going off to summer camp because we were just like going out of our mind, sitting around doing nothing in Long Island. And so they sent us off to this New England circus and computer camp. So half the day we spent learning how to code. I can't code a line right now, so it didn't do me any good. But yeah, half the day I learned basic and Pascal and electric circuitry. And the other half of the day we'd learn how to juggle and, you know, do the high wire and trapeze and eat fire and all that stuff. So it was pretty amazing experience. But through that entire 8 weeks, it was really hard to be away from my mom. But again, I had learned this way of protecting my sadness and my pain and swallowing it and not feeling it. So I made the best of it, had a great time at summer camp. But for sure, when the 8 weeks is over and I got to be with my mother and sister again at my mom's little apartment in Long Island, it was one of the best days and best memories of my life. I remember earlier in the day, I stayed out all day in the sun and I got sunburned. And that night, as my sister and my mom and I were sitting in her apartment, she rubbed after sun into my back. It just felt so amazing to be there, the three of us together, to have that sense of belonging. That's all I've ever wanted, is to feel that I had a place in the world within a family and that we were safe and we loved each other. So that memory, I always, through the years, I returned to that place of a place of emotional safety and love and care that I've longed to recreate in my life. And, you know, through the years as an adult, you know, I've tried, right? I tried many relationships and many relationships failed for many reasons. And I'm sure on this podcast, I'll share many of those experiences and why they failed on my part over the years. But I never gave up longing to recreate that place of belonging, right? That place where I could be in that cocoon with another and start my own family, just like I felt in that little au pair apartment back in Long Island when I was 15 years old with my mom and my sister. So I always thought of that place, right, as that will be the place I'll return to if I'm lucky to be conscious the moment I die. I will be back in that apartment. But lo and behold, now, after doing all of this work to no longer turn away from my vulnerability and my pain and to let myself feel it, not shame myself, not criticize myself, but actually love myself up and hold that part of me when it needs love the most, I have created a family of my own where I have that sense of belonging every day. By showing up and loving myself, I have been able to be the husband and to be the dad that I longed for back then. That is so incredible, right? I don't know if you can feel that, right? But to actually, this thing that I longed for, that I needed, I now not only have it inside myself and provide it to myself, but I get to provide it to my own family. Every day. Right? Every day of my life now, right? My wife and my daughter and my dog and our little boy in the womb, we go to bed in the smallest room in our house. And we all snuggle up in the same bed. All of us are in physical contact with each other. Every single night, I get to have that sense of belonging. That sense of love and connection and safety that I only had these fleeting moments of when I was a kid. So in this crazy, crazy, like, you know, like life journey of mine, of feeling all this pain and longing, it's still awe-inspiring for me that I get to be in the life that I long for and be in that sense of love and security that I didn't have when I was a kid that meant so much to me. And I'm here to tell you, you can do it too. You can be the one you've been waiting for, and you can be the one that your loved one or loved ones deserve. So let me try and help you. Let me try and like help you kind of think through what I imagine, right? Like, why would that be important? Why would it be important to be able to do such a thing, right? Well, so the first thing I just want you to consider, and this might be a difficult concept to take in, right? Your vulnerability, the parts of you that can feel hurt and sad and abandoned or rejected or not enough, are not optional. They're never actually going to go away. Your vulnerability is an essential part of who you are. It is not a part to get rid of. Stop trying to change and start embracing and accepting yourself. And yes, that includes all the places inside where you hurt. In fact, that's actually the most lovable part of who you are. It's the part of you that needs love the most. So the sooner you stop trying to get rid of that part of you, embrace it, surrender to it, and start loving him up or love her up, right? You got to take care of it, not tell them they have to go away. You don't tell the part of you that's hurting the most, go away. Like, really? Like, come here. If there was a little kid in front of you right now and they were scared or they were sad or they were hurting, really, what would you do? You would tell it like, here, come here. That's embarrassing. Don't be feeling those feelings. Or like, you're going to offer them a solution? I know what you should do to feel better. No. Don't do that. Don't do that to a little kid. Don't do it to someone you love. Instead, I want you to imagine grabbing that kid by the hand, giving him a hug, a big hug, and telling him it's okay for you to have your feelings, and I'm here for you. It's okay to feel sad. It totally makes sense because that little kid is still inside you. I want you to stop criticizing them, stop giving them advice, stop trying to hide the hurt feelings because they're never going to go away and it's time to love them. So I, you know, in the last week, totally unrelated, I came across this quote by Thomas Merton. And I don't know if you know Thomas Merton, but he's like a Catholic philosopher, someone that I really admire. And he talks about, you know, why like trying to avoid your suffering is actually only going to lead to more suffering. So here's the quote. The more you try to avoid suffering, the more you suffer because smaller and more insignificant things begin to torture you in proportion to your fear of being hurt. The one who does most to avoid suffering is, in the end, the one who suffers most. So look, you gotta stop trying to avoid feeling your vulnerability. The more you try and avoid hurting, the more you disown the wounded one inside of you, the more you're actually gonna suffer, the more pain they feel, right? Pretty obvious, hopefully. If you imagine, if you fell, it's a very simple, silly example, if you fell on a banana skin and you cut your knee, that hurts. That's a lot of suffering. Right. And that's in a certain way, that's unavoidable. You fell on the banana skin, your knee is cut. Ouch, that really hurts. But then you walk the next five blocks criticizing yourself and telling you, ah, you're so clumsy. What were you doing? Look how stupid you look now with a bloody knee and your jeans ripped. That's suffering that's completely unnecessary. When you were in the most pain, when your knee was cut and your jeans are wrecked, you actually needed a little bit of support and kindness. So don't beat yourself up. So you're not going to get to avoid suffering, right? You're going to feel your vulnerable parts. And Another thing, if you can't show up with love and kindness and acceptance for yourself and comfort yourself, how are you going to be able to show up when you see the pain and sadness in those around you that you love and care for? Are you also going to meet them with judgment and criticism when they need your love and kindness and acceptance the most? So this isn't just for yourself, right? If you want to be a loving, kind, compassionate presence in the world for others, we do have to learn how to love ourselves. And the last thing I just want to share about why this is important to consider is the work you do on healing and resolving emotional pain inside of you, you do for seven generations back. So seven generations behind you. If you think about your parents, your grandparents, your great parents, your great great grandparents, all the way back, right? Seven generations. Your emotional pain and the way you've been showing up, you guys have probably been passing this down for a long, long time. And you have a chance to break that chain of passing on this pain and suffering and making sure your kids have to also harden themselves or criticize themselves or hide their feelings, whatever it is, the emotional system that you guys do in your family. So for seven generations back, you can actually stop the chain. And seven generations forward, if you stop the chain, your kids won't have to do that. They're not going to have to shame themselves. They will be able to let themselves have their sadness and their pain. They will be able to love themselves up, and they'll be able to reach out for comfort and share with you and later in life their loved ones when they need it. Now, by the way, I used to think that was a very hokey, new agey, right? The healing you do today, seven generations back, seven generations forward. But it turns out the science actually like supports that. We pass trauma, right, emotional trauma, from generation to generation through our genes. So again, I love when like, you know, the mystics are actually ahead of the scientists, but it's an actual fact that we pass trauma from generation to generation through our genes, not only actually through our experiences. So look, I get it. I get this is a very simple thing I'm saying, right? Learn to love yourself. Be the one you needed back then when there was no one there. And then you'll become the one that your loved ones need, right? The one they deserve too. It is easy. Right, or excuse me, it's very simple, but yes, it's not an easy thing to do. It's a lifelong day after day after day practice of catching yourself when you're being mean or critical to yourself or another person and adjusting. Noticing, right, I still am mean and critical to myself, and I'm still, as my wife will tell you when I have her on the show, which I will, I can be very mean and critical to her at times. And then I catch it and I got to adjust. And you can do it too. And my next show, just to seed the idea now, is called The Magic is in the Repair. And we'll be talking about this, right? The magic of relationship happens by how quickly you can give yourself and your partner a chance to repair. So don't worry or don't expect yourself to get everything right, to actually constantly being this loving present for yourself and other people. You won't be, but can you correct course? Can you make the repair with yourself, and can you make the repair with your partner and your kids, right? When you quote unquote get it wrong. So again, we'll talk more about that in the next podcast. So you can do it, right? You can do this. You can learn how to let yourself feel your feelings. You can accept those feelings. You can validate them inside yourself, and you can love yourself up. And I get it. It might be a leap of faith right now that if I was to actually let myself feel my vulnerability and love all those parts up inside, that it would actually make me happier than this course that I've been on for my entire life that actually let me do everything I can to avoid feeling my hurt parts. But I know, right? Even though it's a leap of faith, if you even get a brief moment of experience inside you that you can grasp onto, holy crap, when I actually accepted and loved myself up, I suffered a lot less than I suffer when I try desperately to avoid my suffering. So let's see if I can help you work out what a course or a path would be for you to actually learn or start the process of becoming the one you've been waiting for and becoming the one that your love and your loved ones deserve. So the first thing that you'd have to do is you'd have to be able to notice when your inner critic is doing the talking. And what do I mean by that, right? So just imagine there's a whole multiplicity of different yous inside there, right? Like there's, so here there is, you see, even in this show, you hear Figs, the storyteller, but you also got a glimpse of Figs, the little kid inside that has all this emotional pain. And even though I mightn't have shown you explicitly my inner critic, believe me, he's lurking in the background right now. And he's the one that is ready to tell me what's acceptable and not what's not acceptable and to give me advice of what I should do better. And it can be hard to recognize the inner critic because if you wrote down some of the words, at least my inner critic is saying, and your inner critic is saying, it might even seem like good advice, but you can tell the inner critic is talking by the tone he or she is talking to you in. Because it's often kind of harsh. It's telling you, oh, you messed up. You got to change things. Or why did you say that? Or what were you thinking speaking on a podcast to all of those people? Ugh. So the inner critic can be pretty harsh. And look, it sounds harsh. My inner critic sounds harsh to me, even like grown-up me. But here's the thing. Your inner critic's words, who their words actually really land on, is that vulnerable part inside you. It's the little you. And so for me, it's little Figlet. It's that little kid inside me that can still feel sad, that can still feel ashamed. So every time I'm critical of myself or I'm giving myself all advice, it's little Figs that feels the pain of that criticism. So can you first notice your critic is talking and then flip it from the critic to feeling what it would be like for the little Figs inside, the little you inside, to be spoken to that way? Ouch, that hurts. I was actually hurting or I was feeling bad. And then here I go criticizing myself. Can you actually really let yourself feel what it would be like to be criticized? Now, if you can feel the pain of what it's like to be criticized as a little kid inside you, what would you actually say to that kid instead? What do you think would actually feel good to the little one inside you? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you an example of what you could say, but I want you to really think about it yourself. What would you say if you got to sit with little five-year-old or six-year-old you and you were feeling abandoned or rejected or you wish you hadn't said something or you wish you had gone to the gym? What, and you're like already feeling bad about it, right? What would you say? What would you do? Here's an example, right? So my office here is right beside St. Anne's in San Francisco. And I always imagine like there's a little Fig sitting on a park bench and he's hurting. Like he's sitting there all on his own. He's hurting inside. I'm going to walk up to him and I'm going to ask him, what's going on? It looks like you're really sad. I could imagine him nodding his little head, but not being willing to look at me. And then I'm going to ask him, is it okay if I just sit beside you? Tell me what's happening. Oh, that sounds really hard. Like the other kids wouldn't play with you. Ouch. Well, no wonder you're hurting. Well, that totally makes sense. I'd be hurting too if like little kids didn't play with me. Right. So I'm willing to accept his feelings, validate his feelings. And now I'm going to try and comfort him. Would it be okay if I sit here beside you? Is it okay if I give you a hug? So I'm actually going to offer him the comfort to the part of him that's hurting inside. So now, right, then can you be the child? Can you be that little Figs and actually let that love and comfort in? Because guess what? The one little Figs, little Figlet was waiting for is here. He's here. Can I let him in now? I don't have to hide. I don't have to be all alone with my pain. You're here. You're accepting me. You're validating me. And I'm going to let you love me up. And then let it in. Now, that may, at first, when you haven't had it in your life, hey, that might touch a lot of grief inside. So if you feel like letting love in like that is going to touch a lot of grief, you do want to try and do this inside a container that can feel safe. Obviously, psychotherapy is a really good container, you know, women's groups, men's groups, where if you're going to actually start to be kind and loving to yourself, that if it touches a lot of pain because you haven't done this for yourself in your life, it is good to be able to do this in a safe space with a loving presence to help guide you. So now the little kid inside you like was able to let your love in, right? That you offered him, right? I know this may sound like multiple personality disorder, but I promise you, if you can separate out these different parts of you and start to notice when each of them is present and let yourself embody each one and let yourself actually love yourself and then let that love in, you will be so much happier in the world. You'll have so much less suffering. And then every single, once you have one experience of that, now your job is to always, always have that little kid inside you as your honored guest through your entire life. Take him by the hand everywhere. Never make him walk behind you. Never hide him from anyone else. When you're at dinner, invite him up onto your lap. Right? Hold him to your heart. And anytime it looks like he's going to be scared or get hurt, you squeeze him even tighter. Your first responsibility is to love and care for the little one inside you that needs it the most. And if you can do that, and you can really feel that painful place inside you and love that part of you, guess what? Then you'll be able to see that every other human being walking around on this planet has a similar little one inside of them. And when you see the behaviors in them that you don't like or you judge, the only reason they're doing it is because the little one inside them is hurting. And they deserve love too. You will have a lot less suffering with your relationship with the rest of the world when you realize everybody else has just got a little one inside of them who's waiting for someone to love them up. And when they're acting out in ways you don't like, they're just protesting. They're just protesting against feeling the pain of not loving themselves or having someone else to love them. So just a quick recap. Notice your inner critic, interrupt your inner critic, stop talking to yourself, criticizing yourself like that. Feel the pain of what it's like for a little vulnerable you inside to be talking to like that, spoken to like that. Then actually provide yourself with the love and acceptance and validation and comfort that you actually need to feel better when you're hurting, right? And then let it in. Let that love and comfort in. And it could touch painful places. Like I said, it could touch a lot of grief and sadness if you haven't been able to talk to yourself and love yourself like that. And then once you're able to do that, then please look after that little one inside you. Please love them and care for them for the rest of your life. And lo and behold, if you do it, you're going to start seeing every other person in the world differently because they're just got a little one that's hurting inside too. Even, and actually especially when it looks like they're behaving in ways that you would first judge. Because if you can do all of that, and of course it's practice, it's not just a one-time thing, you will become not only the one you've been waiting for, but the one your loved ones deserve. So, please remember that the part of you that needs love the most is not weak or needy. It's the best part of you, and it deserves love. We all long to be snuggled up under Mother Nature's security blanket, that emotional connection with another. Please love yourself, and love and cherish your partner and your children. Be kind to yourself and everybody else. You deserve it. We all do. So Wow, thank you so much for listening to, and I think I'm going to post this on YouTube too. So thanks for listening and watching. If you're watching my first ever podcast, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and Medium and Instagram. And, you know, if you're open to it, I'd love if you subscribe to this podcast. I'll have all of the links in the show notes to all of my social media and ways you can keep up to date with me. So as I mentioned earlier, the next show, which I think is going to be available, I'm going to launch it the same time I launch this one, is going to be called The Magic is in the Repair. And as I mentioned, that's all going to just be all about how don't waste your time trying to make sure you never fight, or even like we were talking about, making sure that you're always kind to yourself and always kind to others. You won't be. You're going to mess up. You're going to be mean to yourself. You're going to be mean to other people. But the magic happens if you can repair. If you can notice you're doing it, right? You can notice you're a critic with yourself or others, and you can turn things around, begin again, make the repair, and start to be kind to yourself and others. Now go love yourself. Love your partner and your little ones if you got any. And remember, we all deserve to be loved. Thank you.